Well, let's just pray and open our heart to God's word. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for each and every one that's come today to worship and to receive of your word. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you speak to our hearts today. Father, I know that Jesus said his words are spirit and they are life. And so I ask you, Father, that Jesus' words would be spoken through me today, Lord. And Lord, that spirit and life would be imparted to your people, that by the Holy Spirit, every person would receive encouragement and strength and faith today. In Jesus' name, I ask for it. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. There is so much trouble, heartache, turmoil in this world. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But here's what he said to his people, to believers. He said, take heart. I have overcome the world. And I want to tell you that we all go through some things in this world, but he'll get us through to victory. That victory is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to focus on two verses this morning from Isaiah 43. And we'll talk about some other verses, but we're going to keep coming back to this passage, Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. Let's read it. It says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I'm telling you, we all go through some things. You see, the beginning of verse 2 says, when. It doesn't say if. It's when. And so this message this morning is for everybody. You see, if you're going through some things right now, well, it's for you. But if you're not going through something right now, we'll just give it a little while, because when you go through some things, I'm telling you, God has an answer. He makes a way for you to come out on the other side in victory. You lose your job. Your boyfriend dumps you. You find out you have a life-threatening illness. I'm just telling you that whatever it is, we all go through some things. And these two verses tell us some things that we need to know when you go through something. So we're going to work our way through these verses. The first thing he says, but now, thus says the Lord. The first thing you need to know when you're going through something is who it is that's speaking here. It's the Lord Almighty. It is the one who spoke the worlds into being. It is the one who cannot lie. He's the one that's speaking here. The one who created you. The one who formed you. Do you know that he knows you better than you know yourself? That's amazing. Hard to wrap your mind around, but he created you. He formed you. Now, when he says Jacob, when he says Israel here, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, he's talking about his people. We're his people. And this wasn't written for his people in that day. It was written down for us, so that we would know, so we would hear the word of the Lord, so we would know that there's a way for us to make it through. In Psalms 103, verse 14, he says, for he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. You see, he knows our frailty, he knows our weakness, he knows our struggle. Every one of us is different. Every one of us has our own struggles and our own inabilities and weaknesses. And you know what? He knows your frame. He remembers that we are dust. That just means how human we are. He knows. the God who created you, the God who formed you. You know, the interesting thing to me in this passage is that there are many, many great revelations of truth given here, but they are given in even greater revelation in the New Testament. And this is one of those. He formed us. He created us. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You see, you are a new creation in Christ. He has created you, and he's working on you. Not only are you his workmanship, that he has formed you, but he's still working on you. You need to know that sometimes when you're going through some things. God's still working on you. He's not done with you. And then he says this, fear not. When you're going through something, you know, it's natural to feel fear. But you don't have to be afraid. Looks like your marriage is over. Looks like your child is making terrible choices. You get a letter from the IRS saying that you're about to be audited. I'm telling you, the natural thing is for fear to come. He says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. You see, fear is the opposite of faith. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. Because we've read the end of the story. We win. God will make a way. You don't have to be afraid. And he's the one who created you, the one who formed you, he says, do not fear. Then he says, I have redeemed you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. You see, he formed us, he created us. And yet, we like sheep have all gone astray. But he bought us back. He redeemed us. He paid for us. Here's another great truth in the Old Testament, that God redeemed his people. And yet even greater revelation of that truth in the New Testament, in 1 Peter 1:18 through 20, says, you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but he was revealed in these last times for your sake. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. You don't need to be afraid. He bought you back. He has redeemed you. You know, the world puts your value at what you are able to do, at what you achieve, what you accomplish, or what abilities that you have. But God has set our value by what he was willing to pay for us. Not silver or gold, no amount of money, but the precious blood of Christ. That's how valuable you are to God. That's how precious you are to God. You are his prized creation. You are his greatest treasure. Then he says, I have called you by name. He knows your name. Listen, he loves us all. He loves you. Every one of us. So you might not feel like you're special. You might not feel like you're one of the chosen ones. I'm just telling you, he has called your name. He knows you personally. And the one who paid such a price for you, the precious blood of Jesus, he is not going to watch you go under. He's not going to watch you burn. No, he's called you by name. And then he says this, you are mine. Oh, there's a word for some of you this morning. You just need to hear the voice of the Lord through the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning, You are mine. All of your weaknesses, your failures, your mistakes, listen, he's saying, you are mine. In the Old Testament, Jacob, Israel, God's people, oh, how they failed. Oh, how they strayed away. Oh, how over and over and over again they messed up. But here's what he says to them, and here's what he says to you. You are mine. You don't have to be afraid. You belong to me. Do you know in your heart, I belong to Jesus? You know, in this world, we always hear people talk about how they're their own person. They, you know, this is my life. But not for us. We belong to Jesus. The Bible says we've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. We belong to him. And I'm going to tell you, he takes care of those who belong to him. You know, we all have our little pet peeves, and I'm going to tell you one of mine this morning. One of my pet peeves is when people don't take care of their stuff. It just drives me crazy. You know, I mean, some people, they get a house and it doesn't go up in value. It goes down in value because they don't take care of it. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Remember when I was the youth pastor, we'd go to camp or go on a ski trip or something, and we'd come back and we'd have two bags full of clothes and towels and personal items that teenagers had left behind. I heard about one of them was throwing his phone up in the air to see how high he could throw it and still catch it. But it's not just teenagers. I'm telling you, some people, they don't take care of the yards. They don't take care of their cars. They don't take care of their tools. I really hate that one. I'd say about 50% of the time, at least it seems like it, whenever I've loaned out a tool to somebody, it didn't come back in the same condition. And I'm just thinking, man, you treat somebody else's stuff like that. What do you treat your own stuff like? But it's kind of a thing for me. So, you know, this is my purdy brush. I didn't say pretty. I said, I ain't that Texan, purdy. This is my purdy brush. Purdy is a brand. I bought this brush 20 years ago. And some of you are thinking, why don't you ever use it? I have used this brush literally hundreds of times. Remodeled several houses, painted all kinds of things. It's been through a lot. I'm just telling you. This is my go-to brush. I got other brushes, bought a lot of brushes since then, but this is my favorite, and I had it 20 years. And you know what? It's still just like new. How's that happen? Well, I take care of it. I clean it right. I just, you know, I put it up in its original folder. It holds it, keeps it straight. Listen, y'all think I'm crazy right now. I'm just telling you, I paid $15 for this 20 years ago. That was a pretty good amount of money to me. And now, if you want to borrow it, well, I might buy you one, but you ain't borrowing this one. I'm just saying. I'll give you the money. Go get your own. A brush. $15. He paid the precious blood of Christ for you. How much more is he going to take care of you? You don't need to be afraid. He says, I have called you by name. I've redeemed you. You are mine. You belong to him. You don't have anything. Whatever you go through, let me tell you, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to wonder, is this going to be when I finally go under? No, you're going to be all right. Listen, if he says you're going to be all right, you're going to be all right. And he says, you don't need to be afraid. You are mine. You need to settle it in your own heart. I belong to Jesus. Whatever I go through, he's going to take care of me. He knows how to take care of his own. The Apostle Paul went through a great storm because of the bad choices of other people. He was being taken to Rome as a prisoner, and they had to sail to get there, And at one point, Paul warned his captors, we can't sail now, it will be too dangerous. And they went anyway. And you know what? A lot of times in life, we find ourselves in the midst of a terrible situation, not because we have made bad choices, but because somebody else did. Oh, it happens a lot. But God brought him through, and he'll bring you through. And when they got in this terrible storm, this is what the Apostle Paul said. This was after many days when they all thought that they were going to die. It's Acts 27, 21 through 26. It says, but after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. I told you so. And not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve. Listen, he said, to whom I belong. He knew who he belonged to. He knew that God was going to take care of him. Well, he says, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. Indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. And here's what you need to know, that you belong to him and that he has a purpose for your life, just like he did Paul. There's a purpose of God for your life. And God's not through with you yet, and he's going to take care of you. Oh, you just need to trust him. You don't have to be afraid. You need to say, I'm his. I belong to him. I am his creation. I am his workmanship. I am his servant. I am his disciple, his follower. I am his witness. I am his vessel. I am his friend. I am his child. All you need to know that you are his. Then he says, when you pass through the waters, when it's coming, when you pass through, we always look for a way around. We don't want to go through. You know, when it gets tough, we want out. But sometimes we have to pass through. 10 years ago, when Carmen was diagnosed with cancer, she felt like the Lord told her, you're going to be all right if you do the chemo, and you're going to be all right if you don't do the chemo. She said, well, I ain't doing it then. Now, I want to tell you, we went through some things, but we didn't go through that. Last year, we went through it. Rather have gone around it. I would rather have avoided that. She certainly would have, but we went through it. And I want to tell you, sickness is one thing, and chemo is another whole different deal. But sometimes, I'm telling you, you can't go around. Sometimes you're going to have to go through. I know that may not be real popular to say, but I'm just being real with you this morning. Sometimes you're going to go through some things, and you shouldn't take the easy way. Sometimes you just got to go through. There's some things that will never develop in you if you don't go through. James 1, 2 through 4 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. I'm telling you, there are some things that are developed in you when you go through. Things that wouldn't have been developed in you without you going through some things. He'll grow you up. He'll mature you. He says you'll become complete, not lacking anything. But get this. He says, when you pass through, this is a trying of your faith. It is not the destruction of your faith. It is when you pass through. You're just passing through. You need to know this. God never intended for you to stay there. You're just passing through. It's when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to be afraid because I know that you are with me. I'm just passing through. And you need to get that down in your heart that whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're facing, what you face in the future, I hope you remember this. I'm just passing through. Just passing through. Just passing through this illness. I'm just passing through this class with the mean teacher. I'm just passing through a time of loneliness. I'm just passing through a period of depression. I'm just passing through whatever it is. I'm just passing through. I'm not going to be afraid. I know that I'm going to be all right. I'm just passing through because he said, I am with you. Another truth revealed in even greater way in the New Testament is Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has promised us he will always be there with us. Listen to me. It doesn't matter if you can see him. It doesn't matter if you feel it. You may not even hear his voice for a time, but he is still with you every step of the way. He's with you. However bad it seems, however dark it is, he's with you. I am with you, he says. I'm with you. The water might be rising, he said, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. Bills keep coming in. Transmission on the car goes out and you got to replace it. Here's what he says. It's not going to overflow you. It's not going to be too much. It's not going to overflow you. Some young person, you're taking all those AP classes and trying to do your best. You got a test and papers and homework. And it seems like it's not going to overflow you. You're going to be all right. The Lord's going to get you through. He'll make a way. And then he says, when you walk through the fire, walk. Listen, when you're under pressure, when the heat's on, you want to run. Walk through the fire. How can we walk through the fire? Because we're not afraid. He's with us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to run because he's with us. Keep walking. I want to tell you, sometimes people run, and that's when costly mistakes are made. Just keep walking. See, don't panic. Don't act out of fear. When you act, it needs to be out of faith, not out of fear. So you walk through the fire. I remember at Bible college, I had one professor one day who was just talking to us, and he said that a lot of young people leave their family, their friends, their church, their ministry involvement, and they travel across the country to come here, and they don't know anybody. They don't really have a church yet. So many things are missing from their life. There's such a void. They're so lonely. And he said, what happens to a lot of them is they find a guy or a girl and they get married. Now, I want to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with the fact that you might be lonely or going through something. There's nothing wrong with somebody getting married, but it needs to be something that was done in faith and something that was of God and not just a quick decision that was made because you were in a bad circumstance. And I'm just telling you that a lot of times when people are under pressure and they're going through something, they make bad choices out of fear. So there's something here. Did you walk through the fire? And he says, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Say, you can walk because you're not afraid. I remember walking through the fire of a boss who hated me. Mine happened to be a pastor. I served as a youth pastor under another pastor. I'd worked there about 6 months, and everything was seemed to be going well as far as I knew. He went on a ski trip with his nephew, and when he came back, he said, I shouldn't have hired you. I should have hired my nephew. That's not a good conversation. I'm just telling you that that's not a direction you want things to go. And I started thinking, man, I got to get out of here. And I was looking, I was praying, and just didn't feel like the Lord opened the right door. And just here I am stuck. I got a family I got to feed and take care of. And you know what? Sometimes when you're in that situation, that you just want to run away. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just want to get out. But I had to walk through that fire of a boss who was trying to get me to quit. He wanted me, see, he told me, he says, I don't want people to think I destroyed your life. Well, I want to testify to you today, he didn't destroy my life, that God kept me through the fire. He was so mean to me, he would say ugly things to me all the time. I led the worship, and he would say, you know, you get up and lead worship, it's like you don't even love God. He says, you don't have any zeal or passion at all. You just get up there, and you're all stoic. And he would talk to me that way and berate me all the time. It was a fire. He finally found my weak spot, though. My wife, Carmen, was the choir director. And one day, she came to the staff meetings. And one day in the staff meeting, he started talking to her that way and telling her that the choir, that the people didn't like her being the choir director because they didn't like her attitude. It was no fun with her being the choir director anymore. And if y'all know Carmen, you know how crazy that is. But anyway, I said, that's not right. He said, I appreciate you defending your wife, but this is the way it is. After that, Carmen didn't go back to any more staff meetings. And finally, one day he said to me, he says, I want you to bring your wife to staff meeting. I said, no, sir. I said, you can talk to me any way that you want, but you will not speak to my wife in an unkind way. It was only about a week or so later that he finally fired me. Out of the frying pan into the fire. Then I had 5 months. 33 years old with a wife and 2 kids and no regular job. I did what I could. I mowed pasture. I did remodel type work, and the Lord opened the door for me to preach somewhere every Sunday except for 2 during that 5 months. And finally, after 5 months, we landed at a church. But I just want you to hear something. God kept me through all of that fire. Times when I didn't know, you know, in the natural, how things were going to work, how we were going to make it. But God kept me through the fire. And here's the thing. I came out on the other side unscathed. I'm just telling you. You see, when you read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when you read about those 3 young Hebrew men that went through the fiery furnace, they wouldn't bow to the image that the king had set up. And sometimes when you're about to go through something, the enemy will offer you an easy out, a compromise, another way. But I want to tell you, if you'll stand firm, God will deliver you. They said, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. You know, I think that they were thinking, our God is able to keep us from having to go through the fiery furnace. But that's not what happened. God delivered them through the fiery furnace. And you need to know this. God will deliver you through that fiery furnace, through that trial that you're facing. The Bible tells us that when they came out of the fiery furnace, oh, by the way, don't forget, there was a fourth one in there like the Son of God. He said, I'd be with you in the fire. He'll be there. But when they came out of that fiery furnace, the Bible says that there wasn't even the smell of smoke upon them. Nobody could even tell what they had been through, but they had a story to tell. What a story they had of God's power and God's protection, God's deliverance in their life. And I want to tell you, you can come out on the other side of what you're facing. And people won't even be able to tell that you've been through this such a thing. Man, you are beautiful. I was there, and it's hard to believe how much you've been through. People won't even be able to tell when you come out on the other side. They won't even smell smoke on you because of the deliverance of our God. But you'll have a story to tell of God's goodness, of His grace, of His keeping power, His protection, His healing. I'm telling you, you got a story to tell when you come through the waters, through the fire. He's faithful. We're just going to worship the Lord and pray here at the front. I know that some of you are going through some things right now. There's some battles, there's some struggles that you're going through. I'm telling you, you're going to be all right. He says you don't have to be afraid. I know some of you, you've been through some things and you're saying, but Pastor, I still got the smoke on me. Listen, it's time for you to put that behind you. God wants to heal you, set you free. No longer does that have any hold on you. No longer does that have any effect on your future. But God will just use it for good in His glory. Stand with me. I want our prayer partners to come. We're going to pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You are faithful. I thank You, Lord, for Your great love for us. Oh, what a God who would give His own Son for us. How will He not along with Him also give us graciously all things? Father, I just thank You for Your love for us. Thank You, Lord, that You are with us. And I pray, Father, Lord, for those who are struggling, who feel so weak, I pray for those, Lord, who have encountered a battle that seems too much. I pray, Father, that today they will find great rest in knowing that You are with them. Lord, and You've given us this promise that the waters will not overflow us and the fire will not burn us. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, that faith come in the hearts of Your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.